Hi. Welcome to another episode here where I'm going to be going over, well, as the title says, Riot's Dynamic Dilemma. On what their Dynamic Cube release and information update that they just put out has effect on you as a solo queue person, and why it actually is kind of ridiculous. Now, before we get into my thoughts on their information that they've given us and then what they've done in the past, let's just quick TDLR the entire release here. The link of the release will be down at the bottom. So, Riot's not bringing solo queue back. They've started running out some statistics saying your role selection has been good or has been an improvement. Whereas toxicity is down. Fairness, they say, is getting closer together. They realize that they made mistakes with high MMR, and they're going to adjust those. That's the quick TDR of what they put in the posts. Now they also put a nice like 20 to 26 minute video, and that's kind of what I'm going to be breaking down for it. And then at the very end, I'll give my thoughts on Dynamic for solo queue and the opinions there. So this may go a little bit long. So if you're looking for a certain section or whatever what's going to be about, maybe I'll put timestamps in. We'll see how much editing I can get done before this gets uploaded. So to start off, Riot has gone from a ranked system that started with a ladder, where everyone had an ELO based on the chest ELO system. And then they went to their current rank system with your tiers and your champion, your players being in different leagues, even though they rarely see each other in games, and making those leagues part of different tier systems. It's fine, it's what other games used before in the past, and it's what they used. So, but they'd always based this upon solo queue. And then for Season 6, they came out with Dynamic Queue, where you could select your own role, or your first and primary and secondary role that you wanted to play in the game. And from there, you would then be put into a match queue with other people who want to play different roles. So, instead of having to know all five roles, you can know specifically just two roles. Also, result, this is done a lot of things, and Riot's going to come out and talk about them. We'll discuss them. So, from Riot's point of view, this is their system to improve their game. They're trying to adapt and evolve so they don't, die out, because they are right now currently the world's largest esport, and they want to continue to be that for the foreseeable future. They want to continue to be on top. And if you don't adapt, you don't evolve, you will fall. You will falter. So this is Riot's attempt to do this. This has angered a ton of people in the community, especially diehard fans for a long time. And it's why they're having so much drawback. So if you just take a step back for a moment and say, why is Riot messing with the game that I love, that I play? And look at it from their perspective, Riot's like, how do we make more people play and love this game? Some of their decisions make sense. Their attempts make sense. Their execution of it, well, we'll get into that here in just a bit. So to start the video, or to start on their video, they have this, it's like I said, it's a 26-minute long video where Riot has brought in two community members. They brought in Skara, the ex-Dignitas mid laner. He was an ex-CLG coach. He's really knowledgeable about the game. He's a streamer. He does content. He does just overall a more lovable, likable person in the community from the pro scene. Knows all the issues going on at the really peak MMR. It's the 1% of the league players. And those are the things they discuss with him, And then they bring in GBay99, who is a popular streamer and YouTuber, more YouTuber, is where he got us. But his background came from wanting to teach people how to play League of Legends, and how to play it better. His original series was based on the book The Art of War, and with that background and information, he's someone who's knowledgeable and thoughtful about the game. Then you bring in two people who are, hard on their sleeves, emotional, to like speak out against this. They brought in two people who are going to be respectful and speak their mind, but in a nice way. And then they go and just straight up tell them that they're not doing solo queue, and here are the reasons why. And in the video, you can see some of the reactions of them just being like, we just don't understand fully to what Riot's trying to do. And Riot has been a company where they tried to say they're being transparent, and then they say, we can't tell you XYZ. They said it in the video multiple times. One of the three rioters in this video that they brought up are Pwiff, who does communication relations, Socrates, who, what's his exact title? Let's see here. Sorry. He was a lead in the new champion select. So first the 5-man queue that now ha pops up, where the bottom three champion players, each get a ban, and the top two don't. That's the champion select. So if you don't like the champion select versus the dynamic queue, that's slightly different. Where I think the new champion select is great. I wish the bans were the first three players, not the last three players, but that's here nor there. So, and then last is Lobster, and he's the last rider, and he's another engineer or developer on the dynamic queue for ranked. So he's someone who's specifically like working on the algorithms, hopefully, to make sure they go correct. These are the people they bring in. And even though we're just gonna stop something real quick. It is mentioned in the on the YouTube version of the little information section down at the bottom that they say this for a candid, and we mean it. This one's got more F-bombs than you can drop in a PG-13 flick. Okay, this is, if you want to be a serious company and approach people seriously, you can't have this like cheeky warning about dropping F-bombs when in your post on your website it doesn't say anything about dropping F-bombs. Now, personally, I don't care, but there are some people out there who will lose instant respect for you if you're trying to represent someone and you start saying things like, fuck. It just happens. And it's something that if you're representing a company, you sh and your company makes mistakes, or your company is working on a problem, which Riot currently is with the dynamic queue, you can't just come out and say, we really fucked up. Well, they say that multiple times in this video, and I find that slightly refreshing personally, but on an overall point, I don't want to hear someone coming out. You can say we can make mistakes, we're working on the problem. There's a reason why customer service field is so hard to deal with, because people, you can't say I fucked up. You get fired. Well, Riot has a loving community of people who love their game will probably ignore this. It's something that little nuances like this can set a few people off, and it only takes one nuance to explode into something larger. So, I mean, DeFicio is the one dropping F-bombs, right? Not the gamers, not the people in the back, writing the code. They may do it in private, but when they come out to try and explain their system, should try and tighten it up just a little bit. Especially when you bring in someone like GBay99 and someone like Skara, who are more of that low key, down the earth personalities. Like, the swearing, I don't think is it really hits home as much as it would with someone who, like I said, is a little bit more emotional, instant reactions to things. And so they get into this, so they introduce themselves. Now, Skara and Jibe, they want to be there for information, knowledge, contacts, anything that allows them to progress themselves as well as curiosity. Heck, if Riot asked me to sit in on this meeting, I would go. I don't blame them at all. Their questions are softball questions. They're just nice, easy tosses that Riot can hit out of the park or drop entirely. And as we get into it, we'll see that Riot doesn't. The questions, I don't. It's when someone asks you a question and you don't answer it directly, and I think that is part of the issue. So, Riot, when they originally released Dynamic Queue and took away Solo Queue, they had a ton of different people making statements on it instead of just one or two people or a small, tight-knit unit. And as a result, they said that Solo Queue was possible. From doing their math and algorithms based on, the last 3 or 4 months, they've come to the conclusion that Solo Queue is not possible with the way Dynamic Queue is working. And the way Dynamic Queue 2 work. This means that Dynamic Queue is here to stay, and the community is mad. They're like, why did you give us this? Why did you give us this? GBA goes and talks about the, competitive integrity and ha about how I don't feel like as a solo queue person, I'm not climbing, or I don't feel like validated because before in solo queue, you had to play, if you usually got to platinum or you got to diamond, or heck, even if you got out of bronze to silver, you were better because you played the game better because you had to play all the different positions. You can request your own position, but more than likelihood, you'd have a scattered amount. Whereas now you can be locked into one or two positions. You can play with friends. You can play as five. You can get carried or have your communication, with another person, elevate your game to a level where, as a solo queue person, that's you're just not capable of not doing it, but on the same level. So someone who's the same level as me is maybe a different level than me because I don't play with platinums, or I don't ca play with golds or whatever the ranks may be. So, before you could always duo queue, but now you can, as a group of four, you can carry a low person, or together you can rise, become greater than the sum of your parts, right? If you were five gold players before, maybe you can, as of playing as five, you can get your team to platinum, or that's the group of five. The five of you can get to platinum by playing, even though you're all solo queue gold players individually. That's the type of dynamic that he's worried about. So this is why the community is angry. Now, Skara, once again, part of the 1%, angry about other stuff. So we're going to go directly on the video here on how they go about it. So after introducing themselves, and you think about it, why did Riot bring in GBay and Scarf? Just think about, like, as a community, who would you want from the community to come in and give this talk to? Because this is a, like I said, a 26-minute video. It's edited somewhat, but it looks like it's kind of a straight conversation. But how long were Scar and GBay in this room with them? Also, as a as a promotional tool for something in your game, you've brought in two community members. But you didn't go, you selected two community members. Why did you select Skara? Why did you select GBay99? I think they are both good selections for what Riot wants to use them for. But you had, from my understanding, I think GBay lives in the Midwest somewhere. And did you fly GBay99 all the way to, like, Los Angeles just for this meeting? Or did he have to fly himself when you told him the opportunity? He will probably go into, like, his side of it, and Scar will do his side of it, because that's what they do. They sat on this information because they were directed to, and now that it's out, they will tell their side, and I look forward to hearing their full sides on kind of what they experienced maybe during this day and what they're allowed to talk about. So GBay just straight up, like, hey, did you, like we said, plan on making a dynamic queue with no solo queue, and you just said that. You just lied to them. So GBay is already asking a conspiracy theory that Riot was just, looking at why, when Riot put out dynamic queue, that there's a conspiracy that they're never going to bring back solo queue, just like they're never going to have replays, or they're never going to have sandbox mode. There's just all these kind of conspiracies amongst the core gamers that are on the web pages, on the Reddits, on the message boards, and they follow, well, like, every word that Riot says. So Riot is a company, says, we'll say one, like, have a post. And then in the comments of on these, those pages, they will have multiple Riot members saying little bits and pieces. I don't want to fault any of the individuals. I don't want to fault Riot as a company about allowing their employees to speak, out or positive about their company. But sometimes, as they state, some of the people didn't have all the information or the correct information when making those statements. So when you're making a public statement about a drastic change to your game, you should have came out with, as from a company standpoint, some type of memo to all your employees saying, hey, this change is happening. These are the people you want to direct questions towards. Because if someone's in art design, how much do they know about the algorithms of, dynamic queue ranked? They probably don't. So while they can put their two cents in, something as drastic as this change was should have been handled with a little bit more delicacy from Riot. And they just come out and say that. They're like, our communication was bad. It was hard for them. As Socrates says, it's hard for them to be fully transparent with players. And Scar gives him, like, the what the hell are you talking about look, because you can be fully transparent with us. This is an attempt to be transparent with the players. It's just not working. The transparency is not what they most players want to see. By the way, the video I'm watching has 10,000 over 10,000 down likes and not even 4,000 upvotes on YouTube. So it's pretty drastic that the players, want a solo queue, because they've been living off a solo queue for the previous 5+ years. It's something that they want, something that they've always had. And this dynamic queue is just ruffling their feathers. And Riot, when trying to say we want competitive integrity and we're going to be transparent with players, they clash yet again, just like they've clashed yet all the time in their pro scene, when they come to their conclusions and they just sort of, like, we it's like when they kicked out Monty's team, Renegades. They're like, we have evidence that Monty and Chris Badawi have a relationship where they will be have an extent at contract when his suspension is up. Well, just prove it. If it's in an email, just be like, here's an email. Ta-da! It's done with. That would be, it'd be upfront, it'd be open, it'd be transparent, and it would be competitive integrity. You could, black out or hide out the things, and you're gonna and people and you don't have to like, you know, use it in a way where you throw people under the bus for being rats or narcs or those type of things. But they didn't do that. They just said, we have this evidence. Well, then, you know, Renegades and their lawyers get to meet with Riot and their lawyers to discuss all this behind closed doors, and the community is just sort of left out, like, what's going on? You know, this is something that the transparency that would be in a regular sports league just wouldn't happen at that point. And I understand that league is small, league is growing, the league is in its infancy in trying to be a competitive scene where it is viewed by millions. It is, you know, gambled upon, whether they like it or not. It is, you know, it does have fantasy. It has website. It has teams. It has followers. It has, you know, all these types of things that other sports have. And so they're trying to balance these two of, you know, communication and, you know, comparative fairness. And they keep talking about this fairness, but they don't actually really define it. Later on. So they came out and they said too many things about Dynamic Q and then Solo Q because the wrong people were saying the wrong message and they didn't know that they could do it, right? So they didn't know that it was going to, that they couldn't do Solo Q. They found out that they couldn't do Solo Q based upon their statistics, which they won't tell us, which I'm fine with because once Dynamic Q came out, I knew Solo Q wasn't coming back. There was no way that you could have Dynamic Q and Solo Q at the same time. So Skara goes into asking a whole bunch of questions about like the 1% and like how it affects, you know, or actually he goes more into communication and the transparency and about how Riot kept saying a bunch of different stuff. But this is the thing is like Riot members kept saying different things, but Riot as a corporation, statements did not. So they just basically said, "This is Dynamic Q. We will look at working on Solo Q." And so then the community was like, "Well, how long does it take to like, you know, implement this?" And like they the writers, the you know, Socrates and Lobsters basically say that they had too many people speaking. They didn't have enough information to everyone of the team members who were speaking. And it was just a bad job on their part as a public relations department and as a, you know, engineers or designers on the math. Basically, a whole bunch of this is just like, hey, we're playing around with math and we didn't succeed at what we thought we could do. Or we're struggling on this portion of the math problem. You know, I mean, that's a very super simplistic view of, you know, writing a computer program, but it boils down to a whole bunch of math. So they made, I mean, you just look at it, it's ridiculous. Next, Skara does have more of a voice in this than GBay99 because he just basically is like, well, I don't really want to accept the fact that you're messing with my game that I make all my livelihood on, that I've made my livelihood on. And so they ask him, well, what do you want from a solo, what do you want from your ranked competitive environment? He goes, he wants players to be at his around his skill level. He doesn't want to, like, he goes on later saying, like, since he's a master challenger player, he got into Dynamic Q and ended up with like three like diamonds on his team, but also a plat player because they were ranked as four. He was a solo. He got put on their team. But because Dynamic Q was used their algorithm to adjust their players for playing as a group of four to raise their, you know, their matchmaking level or their MMR, it got up to, I guess, whatever Skara was at because of the times and the queues. Skara had been waiting for like 30 minutes and got out of this game. And then he looked across at the other team and it was like all master challenger players. And he's like, well, that's not fair because those players on their average day, which is, you know, your MMR is your average at the very end, on their average day, they're not going to meet the level that that the players on the other team were. So, and he's talking about the 1% here. Now, the 1% is where they have most of the problems. But that's the way it is with all of society, right? So the 1% of people in your countries pay taxes. The 1% in any business, corporation, 1% in schools and our education system, the one, I mean, just break those three down. Like the rich people say that the rich who in the United States, depending on their tax bracket and there are ways to get around it, can pay like 40 to 50% in taxes depending on where you live. Well, if you make $1 million, you, not even if you make over $1 million, I mean, what's the point of like, oh, I make 1 million. Well, if I make 2 million, I'll get in this next tax bracket, but then I'll have to pay $1 million in taxes. That's not worth it. So the taxes get all skewed at the top 1%, which is why like Wall Street, the Occupation Wall Street happens, because the 99% people were mad that the 1% weren't playing by the same rules. Well, that's not fair, but guess what? The 1% can't play by the same rules. 1% in the NBA. They don't play by the same rules as high school basketball players. The 1% of people who go to the Olympics, they don't play by the same rules that kids in PE class play by. It's a different game because they are the best of the best. They are the top of the top. Like I said, in school, it's crazy. The 1% of kids in high school, the top 1% of kids in high school, they shouldn't be in public school. They should be pretty much in specific programs and things to help them get to through college and exceed at not at a high rate, but at excellent rate. They shouldn't be having to sit and take, basic home ec class or basic like history. If they are in science, or let's say they are the top 1% in history, then why are you making them learn about physics? Like, the top 1% needs to play by different rules. And it sucks to hear that, but it's necessary and it's required for them to play by these separate rules. The separate rules allows them to succeed, grow, develop, push the outer limits. If you start like the top 1% of musicians out there, they reach the pinnacle of their society. They reach the pinnacle of, producing music. They're not usually socially adept, or they're not fiscally responsible. Someone who of us knew that, Colin Cowherd, he's an ESPN, was an ESPN, now on Fox. He talks about how this, kind of in the same way that I'm talking about, how the 1%, the top people of the top, are geniuses in whatever field they are in. In their specific field, they are a genius. And as a result of putting all that time and effort into becoming a genius in that field, it takes away from, participating or being, equivalent. You can't be a Renaissance man anymore. It's just not, I mean, there's a rarity of people who are always like, to be the Renaissance man, who to be, productive and adequate in social environments, financially, economically, charitable, athletics, music, art, science, history, like being able to read and write at like top levels. This is just not capable anymore because the way our society has grown, that you become a specialist. And being a specialist can be a really good thing because that means you have a great tool, you have a great asset that that no one else can provide. So Scar just keeps going on about the 1% and being like, hey, we need to fix the problems for the 1%. And I agree, the 1% does have their own problems. I am not in the 1%. I'm far from the 1%. Not even close to 1%. I don't know what 1% problems are. But when you look at it, the way Scar says is he wants three things. And those are the three things he wants. He wants teammates who are in the 1% with him. He wants shorter times. And he's like, well, since you've taken solo queue away, you've put me into the new champion select where I that get my pick my role. He goes, I want my role like way more than 50%, and he's a mid lane player. And they state straight up in their information page on their on the website that by role, what are the percentage chances? Role. So mid, if you put mid as your primary role, you get 55% of chance of becoming mid of being the mid laner. Whereas if you put support as your primary, you get a 95% chance that that's your role. Whereas if you put mid and support as your secondary, they straight up tell you that you will only play mid 16% of the time. That means out of 100 games, you will play mid 16 times. That's not right, especially if you're putting mid as your primary. So what happens it, because of this system is you've taken out a role. So people who normally in the old solo queue system would play support occasionally because they knew they didn't have to play it every game has now just removed support as some as a as their position because they don't want to play it 90% of the time. That doesn't allow them to either grow or develop. It just makes them a support main. Putting support as your secondary role means you're now a support main with the new dynamic queue system. And that's something that they haven't yet solved because they go into it and they talk about buckets, about how the buckets and how your information gets picked from. They talk about secret sauce, and we'll get into that here hopefully in a little bit when we get to that part. But their numbers straight up tell you that if you want your role, if you want to be mid, you're stuck. Maybe you're going to get it just over 50% of the time, which is a bummer because if, let's say Skara was younger, let's say Skara was an up-and-coming challenger mid laner, he would want to, and he's trying to make an LCS team, or he's trying to get recognized to try out for an LCS team, he's going to want to play mid more than 55% of the time. He's going to want to be streaming, he's going to be playing mid that 60% of the time, which top lane, jungle, AD carry, it looks like they're all between 60 and 80%. Excuse me. Even if you're a support main, you got it lucky. You just always get to play support. But everyone else is like slightly higher, right? You would want to be. And then it comes to the debate, do you want your role or do you want to wait? And that's where they discuss for the next, like they just talk about where do they value. So Riot talks about how the more things they throw into their algorithm, the harder it is to make the queue time shorter because it has to take so many different variables in it, which is kind of what the buckets are, right? So as they talk about, they can make they can make the times for the games either super long or super short. So they can, as Socrates puts it, we can take it so you only get into a game with someone who is your exact MMR. Or we can take it in such a broad range where number one in Challenger will play, be put on the same team as the lowest player in bronze. Well, that's drastic. Like, that's a drastic difference. And for someone that can be exactly on your MMR, he says, can take like 9 months. Whereas he can put you on a team with a bronze player in 1 second. So their way of, you know, whittling it down to finding people your MMR and their rank and their position, I think is correct, right? So like, I don't write computer programs, but making it sense. But then he goes, they're like buckets. And so the more buckets you use it to help, you know, separate different parts and pieces of the matchmaking system on how you get put into a game, the longer it takes. So, but Scar is sitting there and he's like, well, I sit there for 30 minutes and I want to play mid lane and you put me a jungle. I'm like, he's like, I don't understand, why can't I just play mid lane? It's because of this. And Scar's willing to drop role because he comes from that solo queue environment where he played all the roles to get to Challenger, right? He didn't have to play just mid lane. He played just mid lane when he was in the LCS, but to get to the top tier, he played just like, he played all the positions. He had to at solo queue. And solo queue, before you had to play all the positions, you had to play all five. And this is where I'm going to put it in kind of basketball terms. If everyone in your town goes and plays one game of basketball a day and gets randomly selected to be with one other person, or not one other person, four random other people from your town, and then at the end of the year they had a ranking system based upon how many games you won, that was the old ELO system, right? Because it didn't matter if you were 6'11" and could dunk on anyone, or if you were, 5'1" and couldn't dribble a basketball, you could be put on the same team. Well, not anymore, but that's the way it started. And as you gained ELO, they tried to put people of like ranks together. So going from there, Riot's then changed it now to where you get to pick. You can play at two positions. You can play center or power forward, or you can play point guard and shooting guard. And then you get matched up with five other people around your same rank where someone plays one of the other positions. So if this way I'm not on a team, Riot's like, well, this is more fair. And I don't like the word fair, but Riot uses the word fair. Because, like I said, talking about the 1%, life's not fair. It's like before you could be put on a basketball team of five players and no one be over 6 foot tall. And the other team could have two twins on it who are the duo queue. And let's say they were each 6'10". Well, if you guys aren't a super coordinated team and you're just five random people who've never played basketball with before, the two twins that were 6'10" each, they're gonna destroy you. Now with Dynamic Queue, you coming in and you saying, I'm 6 foot tall, I'm this level of basketball skill, you can be put as a shooting guard or a point guard or a small forward, and then guess what? You get a 6'10" person who's gonna play center or power forward for your team. In this game. Well, that's great and all, but how many 6'10" people are there in your town? Sometimes it takes a while to find that really tall person. It's like maybe finding the support. Well, actually, no. The support's, yeah, it's like finding the support. Because you get to play support 95% of the time if you pick support. So, if you pick center and you're 6'10", guess what? You're gonna be center. But if you're 6'10" and you pick point guard or shooting guard, you're not going to be able to, get put on a team where you can be that position because all the shorter people are going to want to be those positions. You're fighting over it. This is a really weird analogy, but I'm sticking to it because I like it so far. So Riot is trying to grow their team, grow and develop their players, and just like this basketball league, we're talking about where everyone in the town's playing. Well, now it's no longer everyone in the town. It's everyone in your state. It's everyone in your nation. And you're playing by these rules, but you're also playing by like what time you're awake, when you're playing, if you want to be matched up with one, two, three, four, five people. The 1% are still going to be in the NBA. The 1% are still going to get the basketball scholarship to go to college. I guess like the 3, not 3%, not even 3%. Right? They're still going to be the Master and Challenger players. To get to Master and Challenger, there's going to be players who dumpster high school games. I mean, just dumpster. Like, just show up, score 35 points, and they'll get on some college roster and sit on the bench because their skills aren't really that developed because they were playing in a little town where they just happened to be 6'8" and no one else on their team was 6'8" and no one else on the other team was 6'8" and they could dunk a basketball and they could run faster and jump higher. and then the small population size that they're going against. And now when you're against such a giant population size, the 1% will always be up there. So them talking about, compartmentalizing the different buckets of like, hey, so I need to play with people of this rank. I need to play these positions. They're saying that their algorithms are not up to s they're playing what did my teacher? I used to have a math teacher who would say you're playing with magic math, or you're playing with hocus pocus math. He would say a bunch of different things where the math that you were doing, it you were making decisions and doing your math problem that weren't correct, and as a result, you were getting a really funky answer at the end, and then you were confused at what everyone else was getting. And you're and or sometimes you got lucky and you got the correct answer. Just because you got the correct answer doesn't mean the math was wrong, right? Just because Skara can get to Challenger in this system doesn't mean that the math or the algorithms in the system are fundamentally wrong. I don't know how to fix them. I didn't spend 4 years going to school to study, program design or engineering. I didn't spend, large portions of my life reviewing math algorithms to proportionally, excuse me, do this problem. But Riot just keeps saying that their system is flawed and they make mistakes on it, and they are using, hocus pocus math. They're using algorithms and they're updating it live. They straight up tell Skara, and he talked about one of his games and experiences, that that could have been during a time where they were messing with the algorithms of ranked play live on without telling anyone. They were just straight up messing with it, which is not really important. Like, I mean, it's really important for that 1%, that's extremely important. For everyone else, you're gonna fall where you fall at the end of the season. You will reach where you will reach, and you will that's where your rank is. So for the large majority of the people, you have to play by different rules. That's why in the NBA they allow traveling. If you don't believe me that they don't allow traveling, just Google NBA traveling and you'll watch people take like 7, 8 steps and then dunk a basketball. It's ridiculous. In high school, you see traveling called too much. High school games is too much. So since we're playing as a mass, playing by a different set of rules, the algorithm needs to change. And Riot's trying to be fair and competitive integrity, be fair across the board. Well, that's not what should be happening, is you should play by different rules of the 1%. And Jibe talks about specifically, he goes, yeah, wait time's nice and playing with people my level is nice, but I want my role. You've limited me to two roles, specifically because of the new system. In the dynamic, because I'm limited to two roles, I have to have one of those two, my top role. Because otherwise it's just solo queue. Back to the old system. He says, back to the old system. If I can't have my role, we're back to the old system. Because we're playing on a different set of rules. And they don't address this at all. Because he wants his role. He's a top laner. So he wants to play top like 75, 80% of the time. And he's willing to wait. He's willing to wait an extra 5 minutes to play top. And they just completely ignore his statement. Because they go back to talking about the problems at the 1%. Well, the community is not at the 1%. And I understand Skara is there. And they think he's talking about running into teams with pre-mades of like threes, fours, and even fives as a solo queue person. And while he thinks that that's a problem. Lobster comes out and says that, that it's a fair game because their algorithm says it's a fair game. Well, you won't tell us what your algorithm is. You won't tell us how much you value teamwork. Before, in the basketball analogy, the best player in the game, let's say it's LeBron James, if he showed up in any high school today, he would win the game. He'd win the game. If he showed up on any college campus, he'd win the game. Well, your average college basketball player, he went to a high school game today. So let's say your average college basketball player is your Upper Platte, Low Diamond, and your high school is your gold players. If he showed up in gold, he could do fairly well, but an organized team could deal with the one player. And this is where the system, you know, GBA feels it doesn't show your skill because there are people out there who are no longer solos. They are straight dynamic Q players. They are straight threes, fours, and fives. While that's great and all, he feels that that does not reflect his solo ability as a solo Q person. He goes, that person is diamond five. He's plat one. He looks and goes, wait a second, that person plays with diamond ones and twos in 90% of his games. And Jibe's like, I got to plat one, and he's on his way into getting into diamond five by himself. He feels that he carried himself there. He put himself there because he's an individual looking at himself. Now Riot looks at it and goes, but dynamic Q has allowed everyone to play better and be more fair. And GBA is like, well, it's not fair to me. He's looking at it as an individual, which is how all the community members look at how what Riot's done here, as they look at it as an individual because they don't care about the other players. You may care about your friends, but you don't care. You care about your 1%, you and your friends. You don't care about the 99% of the other players out there. So when you see someone from the other 99%, you know, get ahead of you, and you're like, wait a second, that's not right. You're like, that person doesn't deserve to be higher than me. That person just got lucky because of the system. Well, therein lies the problem. And Riot's look on it to be fair to everyone in competitive balance, it's not fair to everyone. They can't have dynamic queue and have a solo queue. And it's something they discussed in here where they haven't described what they want the new rank system to be. And this is their ultimate dilemma. This is the dilemma that we're boiling down to the end here. Thank you for sticking with me so far. Their dilemma is they've been based so long on solo queue, and they want dynamic queue to succeed, but they're still trying to play by solo queue rules. They can't do that. They have to separate and say, this is a new system. We are judging you by new rules. We are judging your play by new statistics. We are not judging you by if you won the game and how many kills you got and did your CS and did you carry. We are judging you by how well you can communicate, how well you can work together as a team, how well you can do things as a group. Because they've adapted the game to make groups and teamwork more important than a Fed assassin or a carry tank or hyper carry ADC. It's not that their communication is bad, because it is. It's terrible. It's that their approach to defining what they want to do and then relaying that information on is not working. I personally like dynamic queue. I find it more challenging. I find it more, not reliable, but more like emphasis on teamwork and team play. They are separating themselves from other games, other MOBAs, where you can be like a one-person star. They want to show that teamwork is super important. And their goal for the reason for showing teamwork is super important comes from something behind the scenes. They were known as a toxic game in the community. That people in other games and other community games were like, League of Legends, that's a toxic game. Their community is toxic. They saw it in their statistics that they that they talk about in they talk about those statistics in the game. The reason they went to dynamic queue is to reduce toxicity. This is their adapt and evolve that I talked about at the very beginning. Their adapt and evolve is, if players are continuing to be toxic, we will die. To reduce toxicity, how can we improve it? They come out and say, if you improve toxicity by letting them play with more people, by letting them play with their friends, so they allow more people to play with their friends. They made dynamic queue, so you can play with 3, 4, 5 people. They also took away roles. They took away arguments. They won't let you argue anymore. Before, it was like 2 kids arguing, and then a mom being like, no, you get this and you get this. The kids don't get to argue anymore, right? They may bicker a little bit, but they still more or less know that the parent made the decision on who gets what. And they go from there, right? The kids then go out and play or whatever. That's what the players have to do in the game. They get told this, and they go, super, because I picked 2 choices. I got A or B. I have to be happy getting A or B, because those are my only 2 choices. And even if they get B, they're satisfied with that decision. So that reduces toxicity. They also talk about the fear of playing ranked. Their ranked statistics numbers are drastically higher percentage-wise across the board of playing ranked now that dynamic queue. Because you can play with friends. Because there's less toxicity. Because of the new system, you know you're not going to get a role you didn't know. Before, once again, Skara had to play all 5 roles at a decent enough level to get to Master Challenger tier. GB899 had to play all the roles decent enough to get to Diamond tier in the past seasons. Now, they just have to be decent at 2 roles. And you could be a decent League of Legends player at GB's choice, like mid and, or top and mid, or Skara's choice of mid and whatever he wants to play that day. And you can play, they can play those to the point where now GB99, at the end of the season, he's going to be like, I'm going to be a diamond tier top laner, and I'm going to be almost a diamond tier, let's say mid laner is his second role. He's like, he's not going to be gold level AD carry or support, because he's going to have no games on AD carry or support. But does that make him a better player of League of Legends? And that's where people want to define, are you a better athlete, or are you better, you know... Some people play Suns basketball. Kyle Korver, he's a 3-point specialist. Is he a worse basketball player than let's say Dwight Howard? Well, people will say, well, Dwight Howard's a better basketball player, because he's the center and he gets points and rebounds and he's a great defensive cog for his team, or can be a great defensive cog for his team. Well, Kyle Korver allows the Atlanta Hawks offense to flow and move and transition, and you know, he's a 3-point specialist. He drains in threes. I mean, you can say that Steph Curry was the MVP this year, which he was. He was great, but did he win it because he was a great overall player, or did he win it because he destroyed the records for 3-pointers made in a season? Those are the types of arguments that people can have, but they're healthy arguments. You're debating, like, 2 actual things. You're not just, you know, debating whether or not you're, you know, good or bad. So that's... Jibe is like, I don't want to... He's having the argument being the better overall rounded league player or the better overall rounded basketball player. Are they better than the specialist? And he sees the new dynamic queue being 2 roles as a specialist. You are now a specialist. Whereas Riot sees it as, yeah, because you can specialize, more people will specialize and then get to play. More people will play because of less toxicity. And that improves Riot's bottom line. That's the adapt and evolve. So maybe the players need to adapt and evolve with Riot. And if Riot just came out and said that, I think we'd be in a much different situation than them trying to explain the nuances about little tiny things about individual examples. I mean, I'm not a writer. You can. They put in the new master, the mastery tiers now, where you can get 6 and 7 by getting S minuses and S ranks after getting your level 5 mastery on a champion. And I think that's a great way for individuals to focus on a champion, but it's to compare themselves to in a ranked play. I think we have to, as a community, evolve and adapt. Just like Riot's trying to evolve and adapt, because they want more people to play. And ultimately, as a community, we should want more people to play. And with more people playing, it makes it harder. It's harder to get Master Challenger now. It's harder to get Diamond now than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Because the vast number of players have come into the scene, and a vast number of players have shown their worth. And have shown that they're better than you. So, this is a breakdown of, you know, how we're looking at it. And how, at least I feel about the situation. I feel that Jibe and Scar came looking for answers that they didn't get. And Riot comes off as being arrogant, maybe not rude, but like cocky and showing like, we know better because we have the numbers, we have the statistics. And they gave you a little bit of the statistics in the post. This group of fives versus individual groups, I think is ridiculous. What do you know? If you're a group of fives, you're still winning 55% of the time compared to 45% versus a group of three. Well, that's exactly what you're going to see. And they say they're going to be more frequent with updates, so let's see if they in keep with that. This went really long. It touched on a whole bunch of different topics. I don't even know if people... Hopefully you watched the whole thing. If you have, check out my series where I've tried to... I'm trying to learn everything about League personally, and hopefully people can pick up on information there. I find it really helpful. Just in my own play, my own knowledge. This is all a curiosity thing, right? If I'm gonna maybe find out as much as I can about League, why not anyone else? So, you can follow it. Since this is really long, I don't know if I'll probably put in some timestamps, but we'll see what I can do. If any of the people who were in the video or from Riot watched any or all of this, let me know. Let me know what you think, because I think you're coming at it as you can tell that Pwiff and Socrates have some experience speaking publicly. Lobster maybe just, I don't want to say, okay, he was kind of bad in this on this table, and I'm not saying he's a bad person. I just think that maybe like his way of explaining it to the group that they were there just didn't work for the medium that they used when explaining it to the community at large. You know, you sometimes when you're in the down the rabbit hole, you forget that no one can see down the rabbit hole. So the fact that Scar and Jibe get to have been at Riot Games multiple times before and seen it in action doesn't mean the community is seeing it in action, so they don't, that base understanding of where everyone's coming from is off. Hopefully, hopefully this is something that changed, and they've said that they're changing, and they're adapting, and they're growing, and the more communication we get from them is better. So, I'm going to click it off, and send it back to their free music, because League of Legends Riot does do stuff great. They got great free music that you can listen to.